The true shepherd of Israel is also the Lamb of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome to part two of this series we've started that'll take us through the Easter season and a little bit into Pentecost. And we're talking about the elements of the Mass. And so we're going to start each one of these weeks with a short teaching based on passages from this little booklet. And I have some more of these, and you guys can, if you haven't gotten one already, you can take one home. I'll give one to you, Roxanne. You can take one, and if you guys want to share that, that'd be great. So you can have that, as a matter of fact. Wherever they are, I'll find them. I think they're in my office. Last week, we talked about the simple names of the service. Service, worship, Mass, liturgy, Eucharist, all of those things, which kind of all mean the same thing. And today, we're going to talk briefly about attending Mass and the Sunday Sabbath. And so if you do have this book and are following along, we did the first two teachings, and now we're doing the second two, oddly enough, part two, the second two. So anyway, we're not going to follow this along page by page, but I will tell you where they come from. And as I said last week, remember that this series is online. The sermons are being recorded, and also these slides there so that you can follow along and review and look back. But basically, today we're going to talk about why we're here in the first place, briefly. And that comes from all of Scripture, of course, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we're told not to forsake gathering together, that as the people of God, we are to come together and worship. And that's one of the reasons why we do what we do. The Jews observed the Sunday Sabbath. Christians celebrate a day of rest and celebrate the day of resurrection. The Jews observed the Sabbath was the last day of the week, Saturday. Sabbath, in the word, you know, they mean seven. So the last day of the week, the Sabbath. But the Jews observed their Sunday, their Sabbath, and that's really worded not really well, but their Sabbath, their Sunday was the Saturday and still is. Our Sabbath is this day of resurrection. And so we might be told that, well, we're not celebrating on the right day, because it says keep holy the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. But we're also told from Acts chapter 20 and from all of the history and the documents of the early church that they gathered for worship on the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7. It's the first of all feasts. It's the Lord's day. They gathered on the first day of the week for worship, and the reason they did that is because Jesus rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. It's on the first day of the week that Jesus rises from the dead and conquers death. And it's a new beginning, if you will. So when we come together, it's not like we don't understand what Sabbath means. We, on purpose, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And that's why we come together to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so here we are. And it goes right with Acts chapter 20. So we see from the very beginnings of the church, they gathered on Sunday to worship. Now what you're going to hear, and one of the reasons why this is important, is, oh, and here they all are right here. I'm going to give this to you right now and I won't forget. One of the reasons why this is so important is because, especially in our society today, we're told by many out there that they don't need to come to church to worship God. Have you ever heard that one before? Well, I can pray at home. I don't need to go to church to worship God. And it's usually followed with, all they want is my money. You know, things like that. And it's absolutely true that you should worship God at home, and that you don't need to be in a church to worship God. You worship God everywhere, no matter where you are, every single day. But We come together to worship because that's exactly what Scripture tells us to do, that we find our strength as we worship together. And remember the Latin origin of the word mass from last time? Mass comes from a Latin word which means to be sent forth. This is our place to come to, and from here we are sent forth into the world with the gospel. And that's why, you know, it's a lot of people don't like the word mass because it's too Catholic, but it comes from that. We are sent forth as God's people to proclaim the gospel. And so we are to come together to worship and to find that strength and to find that strength with one another and for one another and to be with one another. And, you know, obviously we want to be here every Sunday. We should be here every Sunday worshiping God. Now, things are going to come up. I know people have jobs. People, you know, have different things. There are family things, vacations, and whatever. And so, you know, you can't, some of you can't be here every single Sunday. Even I'm not here every single Sunday. You know, we take vacations, and, you know, God help me, we go off with the family. So we're going to edit that out of the tape. But even I'm not here every single Sunday. What this is mostly speaking to are not the faithful that do come to church on a Sunday, but those out there who would say, I don't have to go to church because I can worship God at home. Well, when you have that kind of an attitude, then you're missing the richness and the fullness of what God wants you to have. God wants us to be together as His people, according to Hebrews 10:25. And we do that on the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection, because that first day, it's like a brand new beginning. Jesus comes and fulfills all of those promises, all those things we see in the Old Testament. So for a denomination out there, there's a denomination that says we're doing it all wrong and they worship on Saturday because that's the Sabbath. Well, what they're doing is they're not seeing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all things. Now, at least they're coming together to worship, but they're missing a major part of it. So when you hear that argument, you know, when you talk to someone and they say, well, I don't have to go to church because I can pray at home. I've heard people say, well, I can pray on the golf course. And believe me, I've heard praying on the golf course and it has nothing to do with faith in Jesus. So the answer to that is God tells us to come together as Christians to worship together so that we can see the miracles of God, that we can be Acts people. And that leads us right into the Acts of the Apostles that we want to visit briefly today. Because what we're seeing in all of these stories from Acts, as they worshiped on the first day of the week, is we're seeing the risen Christ working in and through those apostles, those disciples, as they went forth to proclaim the gospel. They go out and they're telling people about this Jesus who is risen from the dead. They're inviting them to join them as God's people. And they don't like it. They don't like it. They are treating the apostles and the disciples, and we'll see over time that they actually do kill some of them just because they're preaching the gospel. They're treating them the same way they treated Jesus. That's also proof of the resurrection. If they were making it up, would you go and go to death for a story that you'd made up? Well, no. But so many of them did that. So many of them gave up their very lives because they were telling the truth about Jesus. Well, one of the things to take from our reading from Acts today in chapter 13 is that they quoted those Psalms. And one of the teachings we're going to have is why we read Old Testament, Psalm, and New Testament every Sunday. Why we have four scripture readings and what those means. And that's coming up. But they were teaching them about Jesus and they were quoting the Old Testament. They were quoting the Psalms. Jesus fulfills all of these promises. And that's a message we can take out into the world today, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those promises. Again, that's why we worship on the first day of the week. It is a new start. It's the fulfillment of everything that was promised in the Old Testament and a new start as we move forward as people of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome stuff. So I want to back up just a second and show you all the slides. Can I have the clicker, please? I want to do an explanation. It came to my attention that with some of our the slides we have, you can see what we've done, just as a review, is from start to finish with our liturgy, we've moved things over, and I put the scripture references because we are charismatic, evangelical, and sacramental. So we're sacramental in our liturgy and in our worship, but we're evangelical in this church. Everything we do and say is based on scripture. And so what I've done for all of the prayers from start to finish is I put the scripture references on the side. Okay? And what you can't see on the wall, but you can see if you look online, is that some of those scripture references on the right side are in green and some of them are in red. If it's in green, it is kind of a summary of where that teaching is in Scripture. And if it's in red, it's an actual quote of the Scripture that we're saying. Now, I'm going to figure out a way to make that more visible here on a Sunday morning. I might bold a passage that is an actual quote of Scripture, for example. Now, this, for example, this Luke 24, if you were looking online, the Lord is risen indeed, that would be, those letters, Luke would be in red, because that's exactly what those guys say after they encounter Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They say, they go and report that they met Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and they tell everybody back in Jerusalem, the Lord is risen indeed. So that's a direct quote from Scripture. So I just want to highlight that because it was brought up last week as we were talking, and I mentioned that you can't see the colors on the wall here, but every one of them, for example, like this opening prayer, that's not a direct quote, but that's a summary of what we see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. So that would be in green. Just want to bring that up. Get that on the tape as people listen to it, and that way if you do look at that document online, when you see some of them in red and some of them in green, you'll know what that's about. And then eventually I will fix that. But that's the reason for that one. So there we are today. That just will take us into our next series of teachings. But just to know that being here is really important. Being here is what God tells us to do. And we can lovingly give that message to the people in the world today because there are, again, so many people that don't have any faith at all and not even making excuses for not going to church, but many people that consider themselves people of faith that simply don't have a worshiping congregation. And we all know the value of that and what it means to come here together. And that's something that we can lovingly share with other people. It's, yes, you can worship God and you should worship God anywhere and everywhere you are. But Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to come together as God's people in prayer and worship. So that's your teaching today. Let you chew on all of that for a while and on this wonderful passage from Acts where they are showing to all of those in Jerusalem that Jesus truly is the fulfillment of all of the promises that were given and that we too are promised resurrection through Him. Father God, I ask Your blessing on us today as we contemplate these things, that You will truly help us to understand what this resurrection means to the best of our ability. We'll never fully understand it in this life, Lord. But one day we will stand before You and we will sing Your praises in heaven and we will truly know what it means to have that glorious resurrection and eternal life with You. All this we ask in the holy and in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.